Father God, we thank you for Ted. We thank you for his life and witness. And we're reminded that the next day is not promised. And so we are to walk in your Spirit. We are to live obedient and to cherish each day as precious and to live in your Spirit and motivate others and help them see your light of hope. I would pray you'd be with me this morning as I offer some words of encouragement from your scriptures and testimonies in this church, and may we grow and learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're ending the year in a few days, I wonder how very many things you're going to do around the house to wrap up the year. I'm reminded that there are so many things that need to be done on an annual basis. Now, I had this clever opening I was going to do with lots of examples of things that we do annually, but it seems a bit cliche and obvious in the light of Ted's passing. But I do want to start with the water heater. Have you considered, for example, that for the best efficient maintenance of your hot water system, it should be completely drained annually? Did you know that? How many do that? Yeah, maybe five of you do that annually. The biggest reason for a hot water heater to break down is because sediment collects on the bottom and on the heating elements and all the internal workings. Not to mention all those sediments that are distributed throughout your water system in your home to every faucet and clogging them up and helping them drain slow and lose water flow. Did you know that? So manufacturers tell us to drain that tank once a year and refill it with hot refill water so that sediment can get flushed out. It's on the list of those things we should do annually. Now you're probably saying, are you really putting up a picture of a water heater as a sermon illustration? Yes, I am. Hang with me because I think it's a good example. And there are so many other things around your home that need attention. Cleaning the downspouts and gutters, inspecting your home for cracks and loose siding, inspecting your air conditioning and your furnace annually for efficiency, the garage door mechanisms, the fireplace, the chimney, the roof, the smoke detectors, just to name a few. Then there's all that annual spring cleaning, decluttering of closets. Aren't we thankful to the rummage sales at church to help us declutter our homes? Yes, amen. I spent a couple hours yesterday with Sharon going through old boxes. I found a composition book of my father's from 1934 and 35, his senior year in high school. Wow. But it's taking space in my home. It's a treasure, but I'll throw out other things. Then there's all that decluttering of our technology, right? All those texts on your phone that don't need to be there. All those hundreds of emails in the inbox and outbox and spam. They need to be cleaned out, right? From time to time. Then there's finances. We file our taxes annually. Most of us check our credit score annually. We check our retirement plan, our savings plans, our investments to make sure they're performing for the future, right? We check our debts and our loans to make sure that they're the best that we can get right now. I don't know about you, but I'm tired already just thinking about the things I'm supposed to do annually. Speaking of being tired, there's all those physical exams. We're supposed to have an annual physical, including your blood pressure and the blood levels and the sugars, the cholesterols, the PSAs for men and the mammograms for women, annual exams for dental and vision. Oh my. Don't forget, your pets also need annual exams and shots. And while you're driving to the physical, don't forget about your car. You should have your engine looked at, annual maintenance on the fluids, the tires, whatever your owner's manual says. Now, have I covered everything? No. What have I missed, church? Your spiritual life. We should check from time to time, how's our spiritual life doing? We check everything else, right? Or supposed to. How's your spiritual life? This should be an ongoing area of intentionality, but at the end of the year, at the end of this decade, it's time for an annual exam of our spirit. We could ask the question of, are we trusting God more? Are we growing as disciples of Christ? Are we better Christians now than we were at this time last year? And how do you measure that? Are we more at peace, more joy-filled? Are we growing in our knowledge and in our trust? Are we more loving? Are we more generous? We're going to come back to these questions. Be thinking about it. How would you answer that question? I like your children's message today. It's not about looking at us. It's about looking at the Spirit that's in us and working through us. Now, these questions are hard to measure. It's not as simple as looking at your annual retirement plan savings or your annual physical checkup. That's all very clear, isn't it? To the penny and to the level, to the point on the different charts. But how do you measure your spiritual growth? Frankly, I suggest it's important because without it, life is meaningless. Consider, for example, King Solomon, who we're going to be studying next week when we get back to the story. And we open his book of Ecclesiastes with him lamenting that everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. He goes on to talk about his pursuits. He's known for having tremendous wisdom and intellect and all the power and wealth and wives and pleasure that his world knew. He was at the top, when you look in the mirror, of all things that this world said he should have. But in the end of his book, in the last verses of Ecclesiastes, after all his inventory and all his chasing of the wind, here's his conclusion, if you will, of his inventory. And he said, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man." Do you agree with Solomon's claim? Is the spiritual life the most important thing? It is what lasts. It's what gives perspective to everything else. I know for me, having my spiritual life in check is how I can manage the craziness in the world around me, in culture, in politics, in tragedies at home, challenges with health, relationships, frustrations, disappointments, as well as the victories and the good days. It gives me perspective of change and of ebbs and flows in life. And frankly, it gives me hope for the future and for today. When I keep my eyes on Jesus, everything else falls into place. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Well, what a great moment to talk about 2020 vision. If you have 20/20 vision, that means you have good eyesight, right? It means that you can see at 20 feet what most other people can see at 20 feet. It's considered good, normal vision. If your vision is off, let's say 20 over 100, that means that while those with normal vision can see an object with clarity from 100 feet away, you have to be 20 feet away to see with that same clarity. That's how it works. So 20/20 is considered the best vision, the most clarity, our goal. And as we are at the end of the year beginning of the year 2020, it's a great time to make sure you have vision for the future, of course. But I suggest today that we continue to look at Jesus both out in the future and right with us today in the world right in front of us. Don't let the clutter and the distractions and the sediments, if you will, in your tank get in your way, but have sight of what Jesus is doing right in front of us. So let me come back to the question I asked a minute ago. How are you doing spiritually? How have you grown in the past year? How have you let Christ more take over the corners of your life? Are you growing? Are you sliding? Are you stagnant? If you and I were to stop in the hallways here at church and I was to ask you this question, in what way have you grown spiritually this past year, or what ways have you grown closer to God? Would you have an answer? Take a minute and think about it. You've got a bulletin in front of you, write it down. What would you say, one sentence or two? How are you growing? Some of you have an easy answer. Some of you are struggling. And that might be the sediment that we're talking about, the sediment of distractions that are going on around you, the sediment of bitterness, the sediment of confusion, of anger, of unreleased feelings. These might be sediments. I want to take much of the rest of my time today and celebrate some victories of spiritual condition in this place, because the Spirit is alive and well at Dexter United Methodist Church. Amen? Friends, we have a healthy church in which the Spirit is moving and growing. And we just need to take a moment and measure a couple things. Knowing that our growth can happen in all seasons, it's obvious when times are good. But in your case, it might be a season of winter. And yet, the Spirit is still working in you, I would say then. I did, in fact, ask that question in the hallways of church this week. How has God been working in your life? How have you grown spiritual this past year? And I also emailed a few circles in which I'm in here at church. And I have some answers for you that I'm offering today to encourage you that the Spirit is alive and well in this place. I want to start with a couple of the new members here that will be introduced next week at 11 o'clock. We have 15 new members being introduced into the life of the church and received at 11. The first one I'll show you is John Coffey. John is new this year. He started coming in April at the invitation of a neighbor, and I don't think he's missed but one Sunday since. He is on fire. John hasn't been in church most of his adult life, and to talk to him, you will see the passion in front of John. John says, I have grown spiritually 1,000-fold closer to God, and that I pray and thank God, Jesus Christ, and forgiveness and blessings throughout the day. I rarely did so in the past. John's going to be baptized at 9:40 next Sunday. You're going to hear his full testimony of who he was before he encountered Christ, how that happened, and what it means to him now. So be here at 9:40 if you want to see John's baptism, and then 11, become a new member. Sue and Alan McMaster also will be baptized at 9:40 and also received in membership. They are also new this year. They haven't been in church for 30 and 40 years, they tell me. You're going to hear their testimony as well next week and why they had this need in their heart to get back right with God. Sue says it this way, I connect daily with God the Father through prayer. This has helped me let go of much of the guilt and the doubt and the fear that used to run my life. Now, as you hear these stories, you're going to hear some things that connect with your heart. Not all of them are the same. There's a different theme with each one as far as what their connection was. Look for how it connects with you, okay? Your story might be similar. Alan says, after a long absence, I have felt the Holy Spirit call me back to church. Is it time for an amen yet? Yeah, let's react as you feel the Spirit lead you. These are good stories, people. God is alive and well in the hearts of the people at this church. Next is Cindy Davis. Cindy is the sister of Christy over here, and Cindy is also new this year. Cindy says, and she'll be a new member next week at 11 as well. Cindy says, I went from not including God in my life at all to praying every time I'm alone in the car. Maybe next year I'll start praying with passengers. I told her not to close her eyes when she does this. Yeah, and regularly asking God direct, specific questions. I find it's best when I write the questions down. The answers I get this, have turned me into a full-fledged believer. Amen? I don't know if you hear much when the choir is singing at 9:40 and 11, but Cindy is often up here, and she is singing her hearts out. She's full of the love of the Lord. Amen. Another new couple that will be received next week is Paul and Marla Alati. They wrote to me an email and said, it might be an age or period of our lives, but we have slowed down our lives, making more time for friends and family, rejoining church. We moved from a city to rural Dexter and left much clutter and none important belongings, things, behind. We are truly blessed to have amazing children, extended family, and many friends. God is becoming more of a constant discussion and focus in our lives, and we are grateful for it. Amen. David Finch, and speaking of his home group, said, our group discussions helped to broaden and solidify my understanding of Scripture. Being together creates a close bond with those in our group. It makes you feel that you're not walking alone. That's the best part. Now, I hope as you're hearing these, you're pulling out those one or two words that you're connecting with. In Dave's case, it'd be study, group, friends that we can work with together, right? You see that? Not walking alone. Lynn Fanouf, who's here this morning, and Ken, they both offered a comment for me. Lynn said, "It has been so gripping for me to learn about the prophecies from the Old Testament and how they foretell the coming of Jesus. One may wonder why God let the fall of his human race occur in the beginning, but I am learning that there is God's plan, and the more I learn, the more trust I have in God's holy word. My prayer is that God will keep me in his grip and continue to use me to bring others to him for salvation. Amen." Thank you, Lynn, for being here and for growing in that way. Ken said, "The sermon series on the emotions of Christ comes immediately to mind. When I'm experiencing a strong emotion with potentially negative consequences, I seek guidance from the Holy Spirit." Way to go, Ken. That's maturity. Good for you. "My natural reactions to those emotions is changing in a more Christ-like direction. As with all of us, I am a work in progress," reference to Matt's sermon of last week, "but I am very happy with my spiritual growth." Ken, we're happy about it too. I love seeing the joy of the Lord on you. Amen. Joel Gray, a young man in the church, he said, "I had the amazing opportunity to be baptized, a reclaiming for myself, in the river with my wife and my children in front of our family and church family. It was one of the most humbling, rewarding, and proudest moments of my life." Remember what Ted said in his quote at the start? "Be obedient. The blessing is on the other side of obedience." Joel felt an obedience to be baptized again with his family. Isn't that a wonderful picture? How can you not applaud for that? Come on. That's great. Linda Mahan said, "In prayer, I'm trying to remain quieter and listen for God's word rather than my own." She's taking it more reflective. She's reading and she's being quieter and reflective. That's where she is connecting and growing. Rosemary Schuett, she's not quieter. Rosemary's going to tell you what she thinks. Rosemary said, "Taking in God's word from the Bible at a newer, deeper level of maturity and life experience. I'm keen to learn what new insights and lessons God lays out in my heart from the Sunday sermons and the story studies in my home group. I love the learning with my peeps, like-minded people who share their stumblings in what would Jesus do. It's a great feeling that I don't struggle alone, that my study mates and even my pastors are a work in progress." Brian Logie, who was on the trip to Israel with me in October, he said, "I was convicted by one of Matt's sermons. When God convicts you of a sin, you better respond, because you're either going up or down." Wisdom, Brian. This person remained anonymous because of the family complexities, and they said, "The story is a great series. I sent a set to my son, who is agnostic, and he's been studying the Old Testament ever since." Amen to that? Yeah, I love it. Jim Beament said, "For me, I've grown spiritually by getting more involved. It started with a Sunday school class. I also joined the Thursday evening men's group, and I got involved with Helping Hands volunteer group." And there you see Jim working on a ramp they did for a family of a Iwo Jima veteran. Isn't that wonderful? There was an article in the Ann Arbor paper about that earlier this summer. Jumping in and getting involved. Carl Schumacher said, "I think my growth in the spirit of the last year is from all the reading assignments from the church. How can you read a book like The Story and not get a new perspective?" 2020 vision, right? Susan Hauser said, I don't have a picture, Susan, sorry. She said, "This past year I have had many changes in my life and had to make some major decisions on my own, moving from Florida, where to move, selling a home, buying a new home, etc., as I moved into retirement. My biggest fear has been finances. Do I have enough money to live on the rest of my life? Who will take care of me if something goes wrong? Again, I feel God has said to me to trust me. I've taken every care of you in every situation, and I will take care of you now. Trusting God is not always easy. I have the head knowledge," can you relate to this? "I have the head knowledge that I can trust him, but is the actual living in a trusting relationship that's harder?" I agree. "But I have more peace knowing I can trust the Lord, and whatever the future holds, he will be with me in every situation." Amen, Susan. This one's also anonymous in their humility. They said, "This year, I feel God has placed me in the desire to pray for and help others, family, friends, and others, more sincerely than ever. And it's been a tremendous blessing." And now a few of us on staff Kathy Hunter, who does all the graphic design here at church, all those wonderful printed pieces and screen pieces that you see, is the handwork of Kathy Hunter. Kathy said, "With the help of my Stephen minister, I have learned to appreciate many different ways of prayer, how they can be helpful. I am more comfortable using prayer to reach out to God, not only for gratitude and guidance, but for venting frustrations and finding comfort as well." Get this. When we held hands to pray at the Thanksgiving table this year, and everyone looked at me expectantly, I knew there was a difference in my relationship with God inside and out. That's a little more measurable, isn't it? The family looks to you for the prayer because you're the closest to God. Amen. Carl Espy, who is our business administrator, and you see him here on the service we had a couple weeks ago. Carl leads a class in Revelation at 9:40 every Sunday. Wonderful study. Carl says, "My faith has lightened my load. My reliance on God has increased my faith." Amen, Carl. Thank you. Pastor Matt said, "I've learned to trust God more by letting the people around me lead more," which means more work for us. No, I'm kidding. "I've been practicing the presence of God more, just being with Jesus, being with the Holy Spirit. I've also realized that I need to lead more out of my marriage rather than leading in ways that don't include my marriage and ways of being together." Thank you, Pastor Matt, for being so vulnerable. And as for me, this fall's trip to the Holy Lands that we had in October, November is all about connections in the Bible. I'm seeing that everywhere that Jesus went, and that all he said and did fulfills a promise or a prophecy or a connection in what we call the Old Testament. And this has given me personally a renewed hunger for the Word and to find these ways of connections of God's amazing plan. It's changing the way I study the Bible. I'm enrolling for another class, a master's program on Bible, because I want to learn more at this stage in life. Yeah, thank you, all right. My mother was 80. There was an article in the paper about her calling it, "Never Stop Learning." I can hear my mom saying that to me now. "You've not arrived yet. Never stop learning." Amen? Church, I hope these testimonies encourage you. That's the purpose. There may be a little guilt, like I said before. Maybe you're not measuring up to what you hear. Just yield. It's not about performance. It's about yielding to the Spirit, right? Looking for ways that you can trust Him more. Trusting. Surrender, getting into the Word, listening, praying, being, as Matt said, being vulnerable, having conviction, obeying, risking, forgiving others, asking questions, connecting and yielding, putting ourselves in a position where the Spirit can work in us. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Spiritual growth isn't about you having it all together and having all your ducks in a row. It's about the Spirit working within you, and it wants freedom to work. If you do need a tool, I have a tool for you. This is a list of 22 questions that John Wesley used to ask his holy club, his small group, if you will. There's 24 questions, all in the spirit of what I just went through, about yielding and trusting and being honest and transparent. These are available for you as you leave the sanctuary today on the tables and also at the Welcome Center. You can put it on a fridge, or put it wherever, or put it in your Bible perhaps, where you can ask yourself these questions to help measure how you're growing. Well, now that you've hopefully flushed out that sediment from your hot water tank this morning, I want to fill it back up with some scripture that will heat it up again. All right? If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians. And if you don't bring your Bible to church, maybe this is a good time to set a new resolution. Bring your Bible to church and let the Spirit work in you, right? I'm not going to put it on the screen because poor David has 52 screens to go through already. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, to the Christians there and to Christians everywhere. It was to encourage them in their faith and to encourage them about what the church is and what it's meant to be. Now you'll note as I read this that Paul uses the term of predestination a time or two. Now I'm not going to unpack predestination today. Let's just suffice it to say that God planned from the very beginning for what we're about to hear in this passage. And it applies to them, and it applies to us today. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read you the whole chapter because it's so good. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters. Lost my place. Sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us to the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding. And he has made known to us the mystery of this will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Is this good? Yeah? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him, everything in every way. Amen. I'm going to jump to chapter 3 because there's so much more I want to hear, have you hear. If you like what I've read and want more, I invite you to stand for the rest of this. It's not as much, so please stand, and you might even hold out your hands like you're receiving a Christmas gift. Only do it if you feel like it. This is a spiritual thing. This is not a rule. If you want to have more, hold out your hands. Here is Paul's prayer for you, and it's my prayer for you in 2020. Paul goes on, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And church, let's read this last verse together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.